This is CliffCentral.com. Good morning, everybody. It's Friday. You can never ever say that word too few times. I love me some Friday. What's your plan for the weekend? What are you up to? Where are you going? Who are you going to see? What are you going to do? What kinds of stuff is on the agenda for the next 2 days? And don't forget, we've got a couple of those public holidays coming up. Ooh. This month and next month. Line them up, baby. Line them up. The first one is Human Rights Day. I think that's the 21st. It's a Wednesday.
Yes.
We'll slice that week in half, not next week, but the week after. And then we've got Easter at the end of March. I always thought Easter was in April. I never understand why. Why does Jesus, when he decides to mark the crucifixion? No. Why, when we mark the crucifixion, does Jesus not have a set day? Why does it always move around?
Oh.
Have you noticed that?
Good point.
Yeah.
Wrong people to ask.
Well, we don't know anything.
Yeah.
I think it's meant to be, it's based on the weeks. I mean, who knows? I mean, I don't really think anyone in Jerusalem in the year 33 AD had any idea of what day it was. I don't, they were kind of groveling around in the rocks and the mud and the filth, looking up at the sky and looking perplexed and confused. I don't think they know whether it was Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday, or a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
A good Friday. Yeah, thumbsuck. Let me think. Yeah, let's make it that week.
Good Friday is when Lent ends, right?
I think so. Again, you're asking the wrong guy. I mean,
because a lot of my Christian friends this year were saying that Lent started on, so it was Ash Wednesday, started on Valentine's Day.
Oh.
So they're like, oh, well, that ruins everything if you want to give up chocolate for Lent.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that works. And then Good Friday is the beginning of Easter, and then there's Easter Sunday, which is usually, it means a Monday is a public holiday, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What do I know about this
stuff? Oh, yeah, because they call the following day after Easter Sunday Family Day.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I know.
All right. Well, you see, again, if it was just fixed in the calendar. I mean, why these religions? Because they're the ones with the floating holidays, right? Everybody else goes, okay, 27 April, Freedom Day. Done.
Mm.
1st of May, Workers Day. 21st of March, Human Rights Day. 9th of May, August, Women's Day. 16th of June, Youth Day.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else, except for Christmas, seems to move around. It wafts. You never know. You see some Muslim dude and you're like, hey, you know, have a good Ramadan. And they're like, no, that's next month, you idiot. And you're like, what? How am I meant to keep up with all these moves? It's like they want you on your toes the whole time. They don't want you to settle down and think you know anything.
But
no, seriously.
A lot of it is about
A good Shabbos is safe because you can do that every Friday.
Yes.
But then Rosh Hashanah and
did the moon
Pesach
come out?
And,
did the moon come I down? Is it a full moon?
The fucking moon. What's with the moon?
I don't know. One of those things. No, I just wish, you know, technically, since we do follow some Christian holidays, can't we just follow all of the religious holidays as well?
Yeah, well, then we wouldn't work at all. Because on some,
that's the ticket.
On every day, there's some religion has got something special going on. You know, it's the day of the eight-headed snake monster in some religion.
Do you remember those school diaries that you used to have?
Yes.
And right at the beginning, they have public holidays and they have all the religious holidays.
Yes.
I remember at a point, I just wanted to be Jewish because they had so many holidays.
Well,
they had
but
full, you know, a full
a lot of those Jewish
of holidays.
A lot of those are not days off. They're not days that you can just lounge around and do nothing.
Oh, well, I could take them off. I'd say, sorry, I'm not eating today, which means I'll feel faint at work.
Well, listen,
can't do it.
Technically, I suppose we've got to thank the religions, too, for Sundays, that we don't work on Sundays. Most people don't work on a Sunday because it's the Sabbath. It comes from religion. So let's not knock it all. But I don't understand. I never know whether it's Easter or whether it's Pesach or whether it's Ramadan, or I have no idea, and it moves around.
Easter eggs already being sold to us, oh, so please. Yeah.
They were selling Easter eggs at the end of January.
Yeah.
Mubs, hey. How's it, Mubs? Sorry, I didn't even turn your mic on.
It's fine.
Poor Mabali.
As soon as the back-to-school sales are
they didn't even wait for that. Are you kidding? They went straight to the jugular and said to people, all right, now you bought your Christmas presents, here's some Easter eggs.
Sure.
What happens after this? Christmas again. Oh, man. Hey, today is chilly. Across the country, it's been raining, except obviously in Cape Town, where it needs to be raining.
I'm actually excited then for the weekend.
You want to spend a nice cozy weekend indoors?
Yeah.
With the rain coming down? There was mist all over as well.
Oh, did you?
Do you like that?
Made me so excited for the... Yeah. Indoors, doing nothing. But except, I just don't know if I've registered to vote previously.
Okay.
But since I've moved, do I have to go and change my address? Otherwise, then I have to go back to where I lived and vote there.
I think... You've got to check, and you've got these 2 days to just do that one thing if you care about voting. I mean, I sort of jump from one side to the other. There are days where I just hate the idea of any kind of government, and I hate the idea of participating in any sort of process that is going to enslave me, which is how I often feel that democracy works. It's just it allows really wicked people who are interested in political office to say they have a mandate. And I don't know if I want to give them my personal individual mandate. You know, I really do believe in individuality.
Mm-hmm.
So there are days I wake up and I'm like, I'm not partaking in this ugly, rotten, crooked system that puts wicked people in positions where they're able to rule over the rest of us. And then there are days where I'm like, well, if I don't vote, I can't complain about whatever other people have chosen to be the government.
But maybe that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
I am leaning heavily towards not voting.
Yeah.
For the sole purpose of seeing if I can stop bitching and moaning.
Then you don't have a dog in the fight, right?
Because complaining is, well, firstly, it's not healthy for us. Secondly, it makes us miserable. And thirdly, we just have an unhealthy addiction with complaining all the time.
I totally agree with you. Does this mean that you can say when everybody else has voted and there's some government constituted that you could say, well, that's your problem, you people, you voted for that?
No, because then you just come across as obnoxious and full of it,
and that's still going to affect you.
Aren't we obnoxious some of the time? I acknowledge I'm obnoxious a lot of the time.
I don't know, as I say, I'm leaning more towards not voting, but it might change.
Well, if you are interested in voting, if you care about that stuff, this is the weekend to check, apparently, because the president was on TV telling us that you've got to register, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
If you aren't registered, if you've moved, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to check it out. And if I'm lazy to leave the house, you know, voting in Soweto, maybe I'm still fresh in this voting game, but voting in Soweto for me is still a bit of a goosebump moment.
Really?
In Soweto and the history of the place and to stand there. I remember when I voted the first time, I was kind of way too annoyingly happy. I was like, what? The process is over? Can we sing the national anthem? Can we hold hands?
Here's the interesting thing about South African voting is we always get, the media always puts out this story that South Africans are in love with the idea of voting, that we love to go to the polls and it's special to us and we know what it means and people have fought and lost their lives over it. And, you know, they put that story out there, and you see these queues of people, and they're all smiling, and there's national unity, and there's old people, and young people, and white people, and black people, and they're all hugging, and like, oh, I love you, and look at this, we get to vote and choose our government. It's bullshit. Because 43% of the total population even go and vote. The others don't give a shit. The majority of people in this country don't even get up and go to the polls.
They get up that day, they think, oh my gosh, a queue, a whole queue.
I'm not doing this. They go, what do I get for this again? Oh, that's right, taxes and nothing.
I remember a fight actually broke out while I was waiting in line to vote once. Yeah, because there was this lady who wasn't exactly heavily pregnant.
She thought she deserved to go to the front. Huh?
Yes.
No, but you do get to go to the front if you're pregnant.
But
if you're pregnant, if you're aged, obviously, if you have a disability.
I think everyone's gripe in line
I say
was,
no. I say all those people.
You aren't heavily
if
pregnant.
You're old and you want to go and vote, you fucking stand.
No.
Oh, jeez. No.
Nope.
Too many old people have too much of a say.
No.
Whoa.
You know how I feel about
Let
old people.
Let those old hags die.
No, I'm not interested in the old people telling me that they can't stand for a long time. Then don't participate. Just go home.
That is such...
And don't tell me, because you're disabled, you deserve to go to the front of the queue. Bullshit.
Oh,
we're all equal, right?
I can't
get to the back.
You can't wait until you're in your 80s and you are grumpy all day, every day.
You really think I'm going to leave the house to go and vote when I'm 80?
No, but I think I just can't wait for when you're grumpy 24/7 and you just hate your life and you hate yourself.
But this is the funny thing, I don't.
Because you're old.
Everybody always goes on about equality. That person has so little money. That person has so much. Equality. But then suddenly all those rules go out of the window as soon as someone in a wheelchair rolls in. You're like, no. We said everyone is equal. That means if you happen to be born without legs, you're still equal to me. You got to wait in the queue like I do. Sorry.
No.
Why do we do that? I see those wheelchair parkings, and I'm like, hang on. I thought we were in equal society here. That's what everyone's trying to create.
No.
Bullshit.
Everybody's trying to create a fairy tale. We've never been equal.
So
ever.
You'd like equality without condition.
Not about to start now.
No, I don't. No, I'm not in it. I don't care about equality. I think the whole purpose of life is inequality.
Oh.
Can I explain that? Because otherwise people are going to get it out of context.
Okay.
And say, oh, look at Gareth. He's some kind of nutcase. Well, people say that anyway.
Yeah.
But let me explain anyway. So I think the whole point in life, the whole reason people strive, the whole reason people work hard, the whole reason you put an effort in, you wake up every morning and you go to work, is because you want to make yourself unequal. You want to make yourself, you want to be able to live a certain kind of life. You want to be around people who you choose. You want to be free to think and do and pursue the things you care about. Not the things that are told by a government to you you should care about. You want to be able to have financial independence. These are not outrageous or ignoble goals.
Mm-hmm.
These are things that all of us want. If you search your soul, the point is that you don't want to be equal to everyone else. You want to be able to say, I mean, ideally, you want to be in a situation where you never have to get on the bus and take whatever seats open. You want to be able to get in your own car and choose to drive where you want to go. Or, if you want to take it to the logical conclusion, you want to be able to hop on a SpaceX rocket and go to Mars if you want to. You don't want to have to go where everyone else is going. In other words, equality is this banal, like Mabale said just now, this fantasy realm that doesn't exist, where everybody's the same. There's always going to be someone better than you, and there's always going to be someone worse than you in terms of their situation. Always. So the point is to be as unequal as possible, to get to a stage where you are so unequal and so different to everybody else that you could pursue your own happiness, even if it's weird. Let's say your happiness is to grow crystal gardens. Let's say your happiness is to live in a house that's yellow on the inside and the outside and the floors and the ceilings. That's inequality. You shouldn't be told that's the size of house that you're going to have and that's what color you're going to paint it. You shouldn't be told that's the kind of job you should have and that's how you're going to do it. You should be completely independent. And independence means inequality. Because true independence doesn't mean everybody's allowed to do their own thing but you're put in a box. It means you can break out of that box. You can have more or less. You can decide. I mean, part of being unequal is deciding I don't want any possessions and I want to go and live in the mountains and walk around only in underpants.
Mm-hmm.
That's unequal. You're not equal to the rest of society when you're like that. You're unequal because society will measure you according to your possessions, your relationships, the kind of dwelling you live in, what you are able to do in terms of freedom of movement. The guy in the underpants in the mountains has chosen all of those things, and he scores a zero on most of those categories. But he might be pursuing his own happiness. Why not?
Yes, but the point that you make that he's chosen all of those things, I think, is where the difference comes. Mm-hmm. Have you chosen?
That's where the difference comes.
Have you chosen those things, or have circumstances forced you into that position?
Well,
and I think, you know, the perspectives that we hold on equality are heavily influenced by your station in life. Obviously, if you have less than everybody else, your idea of equality is having the same things that the people who have more have, because that's how you're going to feel like, well, that's how I'm going to improve my life.
And I'm saying that's the most unhealthy condition for your mind that is possible, because then what you're doing is you're not only saying that I'll have the minimum of what those people have. In other words, you see yourself as less than, which is the first mistake. Because the moment you do that,
but society treats you as less.
No. You always have. If you don't have free agency, what do you have?
No. If you're a homeless person, we know for damn sure that society sees you as less than the rest.
There are stories, and there are exceptions, obviously, to the rule.
Yeah.
There are stories about homeless people who manage to crack it in life.
Yes, but
generally speaking, homeless people have mental illnesses and addictions. That's why they're homeless.
No,
generally speaking.
Well, they end up with addictions because they're homeless. That's another argument. They end up with mental illness because life defeats them.
Right. So I'm saying that's unequal. And that's not desirable to the homeless person. But who knows what's desirable to the homeless person? Because in some way, shape, or form, they have chosen their life. They have chosen the path that they've chosen for whatever reason. Maybe not because they wanted to be miserable and poor, but because they fought with their family, because they failed in their job, because they decided that they didn't want to fit in with society. For various reasons, someone eventually has to take accountability for their own destiny.
But to want more is not unhealthy. It's human.
No, sure. To want.
And everybody wants better for themselves.
That's the point. And you want better because you want inequality.
You want better because you don't have what everybody else has. And
right.
In your mind, you're thinking, if I just had what Gareth has or what Sia has, mm-hmm. I'd be equal to Sia. And that's what I'm saying, is that is their perspective of equality, is if I just had what you had, because right now I have zero, you have three, mm-hmm. I want to be equal to three, because three is better than zero.
Yeah, but then, you see, you get to three.
And then you get to three, and then you're like, okay, well, then now I must aim for nine.
Right.
Well,
so that's my point. Inequality is the purpose, is the goal.
I think I am of a mindset that's slightly mabali, but not completely. My view on equality, it might be wishful thinking because I don't ever think the world will ever get to this point. But equality for me is everyone getting the same starting point.
Never.
It will never happen.
You might
but
be
I think
what if you're born in a family where you're the fourth kid and your parents just run out of cash by the time they get to the fourth one? The first kid got to go to varsity, all this kind of thing. The fourth kid, there's no money left.
Mm.
Then you come from the same family. It's as much as a control experiment in a laboratory would say, well, this is about the best you can get. Let's say, you know, you have two twins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was
well, ridiculous. Twins. You have, I now went with it. Yeah, twins.
You two look together.
Are you twice?
Are you twice?
So you take
twins. And sometimes what happens is that the one twin and the other twin don't end up the same. That's an inequality of outcome. Scientists are baffled by this because genetically they have exactly the same material to work with. Nurture side of things, they're given the same opportunities, they're given the same resources,
mm-hmm.
same amount of love and care, and they end up very different. Very different. Often the case.
So
it's very seldom the two twins exactly the same outcome. Please, never.
Yeah. So that's
so
the
it's outrageous.
Smaller scale,
cannot,
and I'm not talking about
you can't
about
even engineer it with
particular.
Two people who have exactly the same DNA. You can't even do it with them.
Mm-hmm.
So how the hell are you going to do it with society? It's
well,
a pipe dream.
And also, I'm not putting words into your mouth, but you aren't exactly saying, oh, okay, well, let's stop looking after those girls in Nigeria.
No.
You know, that's definitely not what you're saying.
This has got nothing to do with compassion. It's got nothing to do with welfare. It's got nothing to do with helping other people. All of those things are hugely important.
But
for you as an individual, if you decide that your goal is to be equal to someone else. Well, equal to who? Like Mabale said, you look at someone who's a number three and you go, oh, I'd like to be a number three. And then as soon as you get to three, you want to be nine. But by the time you've got to three, the guy who was at three is already at five.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dumb...
Where's the line?
Well, no, you're chasing shadows.
Yeah.
I don't think it's dumb. I think it's survival. I mean, would you be happy being a zero? No, you wouldn't.
No.
You would put in the work. You would do everything in your power to try and get out of that position.
I'm not saying anyone should settle for less. In fact, I'm saying exactly the opposite. Don't just sit and wallow in self-pity and misery that this is my life and this is my outcome. No one wants to do that. Even the most dejected, miserable person has a soul. Mm. They have goals. They have ambitions. They have dreams. As twisted and as broken by circumstances those might become, the goal is that one day you'll be happy. One day, whatever realm or scheme, one day you won't be this miserable person who's struggling to survive. That's the goal. Because struggling to survive, I'm afraid to say, is the default position of humanity. Our most ancient ancestors weren't trying to be happy and go on holidays and accumulate stuff. They were living every day, and at the end of every day they'd say, whew, I made it through another one. Didn't get eaten, didn't get destroyed, didn't get killed in war, didn't die of disease. So we forget this stuff. The default setting for humanity is probably suffering.
Mm.
Well, at the risk of starting an entirely different topic here, I mean, happiness in itself is fucking bullshit to me. It's a pipe dream that gets sold to us.
Excuse me while I just try
I'm
to
sorry,
survive
no,
that.
It's good that you and I are such extreme opposites. I think the whole notion of you can be happy is problematic. Because depending on who is saying that, they have set a standard of what happiness is and looks like. But then for another person, it could be completely different. So...
Well, that's why I said I agree to a certain extent.
There's a whole school of philosophy around what Mabale just said now.
The reason why I said I was agreeing partially with what you were saying is because if you are the person who has nothing and you aspire for three, and once you get to three and the next person has that six and you're always chasing that, I think that is not society's problem. Because now you're always jumping.
No, that's your problem.
Exactly.
It's your business.
So the exact same, that's my similar viewpoint when it comes to happiness.
And you by the way, I've got to point out, like, the people who get to three very seldom look back to the people who's still at zero and go, oh, let me help you up.
Because they had their own journey.
They're still surviving. Right. Well, they're still fighting to get to the next.
So to sort of loop my points together, if we all just start at the same point, it's fine. Whether you get to three.
We don't. There are historical reasons for that. There are cultural reasons for that. There are resource reasons for that. I mean, if you're born, this is where I kind of that idea of some people are born with a silver spoon in their mouth, some people are privileged and other people are not. I mean, if you're born in Syria right now, you're fucked.
Mm.
You know, you're just screwed. There's nowhere in the world that's worse than that to be born. Right now, we should all be saying, shit, we're privileged compared to Syria.
Mm-hmm.
And that's at the most basic level. And, you know, if you happen to be born to very, very wealthy, very powerful parents, of course, you're hugely privileged. But I would be very, very careful to say that everyone in between is the same.
Oh,
they're
no.
not. You know, an inequality, whether you admit it or not, whether it offends you on some level or not, because some people are seriously upset by this, the fact that, you know, there is going to be inequality no matter how much you try to engineer society. We're all unequal, and inequality is probably what you're pursuing deep down inside. That's also why you go on social media and have an opinion, because you want to be different to everyone else. You want to be unequal to everyone else. You want your opinion to be important. And others to be less important. In other words, you're pursuing inequality. And I say that's fine. I don't judge that kind of thing at all. It's not important to me. I think you've got to accept that people have their own agency, that as individuals, you're allowed to decide what's important to you and what isn't. To Mabale, and by the way, the whole idea, Mabs, of happiness as a goal, many people consider that a stupid goal, because how do you quantify happiness? How do you know whether you're happy? Most people who are deeply, deeply unhappy, in the eyes of others, should have every reason to be thrilled. And vice versa. You can meet people who are in abject poverty who are happier than people who have everything. You get these depressed billionaires.
Yes.
And you get these wives who go out and get plastic surgery and spend every day in the hair salon because they're lonely and sad and their lives are meaningless, but they've got tons of money. And then you get those people who are... So happiness is such an arbitrary thing.
I suppose that's why some people get annoyed when wealthy people say money isn't everything.
because the
people who are not wealthy go, fuck you.
Yeah.
You have all that money and you're telling me you're still not happy. Well, then what is this happiness thing that I'm supposedly chasing?
Right.
Nobody knows what it is. So you must decide it for yourself.
To some people, happiness might exist in a brief moment. Might be that moment when you see a relative that you haven't seen for a long time. The moment when you... buy something that you've always wanted, a moment when you hear a song that you love, a moment where you have sex with somebody you want to have sex with. It could be a moment where you eat something you love to eat, and it's just fantastic in that moment. That those little things are a lot more valuable to most people than the idea of eternal happiness, which is impossible to achieve.
Yeah,
I couldn't figure out yesterday. I just wasn't... You know when you sometimes just not set right?
Mm-hmm.
Things irritate you that shouldn't irritate you, and you're just on a funny equilibrium. Like you can't really get things done. We all have days like that where you're just not on the tracks. You've just fallen off the tracks for some reason. Not like a major psychological problem or anything. You need to go and seek help.
Just
one of those days where you're just not on your A game. That was yesterday. And I don't know what reason, and I was over it by lunchtime, but for the morning yesterday, for much of the late morning anyway, I was sitting there going, "You don't know what to do. You're useless right now. What the fuck's going on here?" Yeah. You know those days?
Yes.
You can't figure it out. It's your brain trying to, I don't know, process memories from the last 3 or 4 hours, or I don't know what it is. Something's kicked off some kind of chemical signature somewhere. And then for a couple of hours, you're just useless.
Yeah.
So same way you can have that spat with feeling sad or feeling...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's totally okay. And then you get over it and you move on. Obviously, you feel sorry for the people who can't get over it because the chemicals there have been a little stronger or longer lasting. That's probably called depression. I don't know. We all have those... What do you call them?
Dips, I don't know.
Dips, yeah, that's a good one. They're dips. So this happiness thing, I'm so glad Mabali said that she doesn't believe in it. It's like, what are you chasing? A rainbow?
I personally do.
Yeah, I know you do.
Yeah, no. And it's not...
If we climbed into your head now, we'd see unicorns.
Yes, I actually do want to climb into Sia's head for a day. I think I would be just in a better mood. I'd be floating around everywhere. I'd be doing pirouettes. I'd be smiling more.
You know those people who take acid and they... I reckon that's how it is, a permanent setting in Sia's head.
And I say that not to mean that I want to run in a meadow of flowers every day.
Oh, that's all I see when I think of you.
But I
be in a musical.
Really? Because already my life is already a musical.
Yeah.
But I just believe that I want a certain quality of living in my own life.
Yeah.
And happiness is one of those things that fulfills me, and hence why.
When I say, because I opened this can of worms, so I've got to close it now, or at least put it to the side so we can get on with other stuff.
Okay.
When I say pursuing inequality is the goal, that doesn't mean everybody who is beneath you in the whatever it is, social pecking order, the rich list, the pursuing your dreams and hopes and having meaningful conversations list, any of that stuff, doesn't mean anyone under you or even at your level has to suffer.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not saying inequality needs to mean suffering for people who don't have it as good as you.
Okay.
That's the important thing, because the minute people hear that, they always jump to the conclusion, oh, so you're okay with poverty and you're okay with... children who grow up hungry and you're okay with
not changing laws or policies for certain people.
No. Yes. I'm not saying that. But on an individual level, and this is something no government can ever make happen, you are responsible and you have to decide what makes you happy or what gives you meaning and pursue it. whatever that is.
Okay.
And if you're doing that and you're doing it honestly, you will have very different goals to everyone else on earth, hence inequality. That's all. All right, let's get into the five things you need to know this morning.
We are very different. Let's just
put it
that way.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
it's a great thing.
If everybody in this room and if everybody in the world felt and thought the same way, my God, it would be boring.
It'd also be dangerous.
Yes, it would. And we would be easily manipulated into doing terrible things.
Mm.
So the more individual you are, the more power to you. Even if it's a bit weird. Even if you do, you know, if you breed rabbits, whatever your thing is.
Oh, Lucas.
Exactly.
Brother Lou.
Brother Lou. All right, let's get into some things you need to know today, the five things you need to know with Mubs, and what are you talking about?
Okay, well, I'll tell you who was not happy yesterday is the Northwest Premier, Suprama Homapelu, and that is because the Hawks raided his offices yesterday morning. Northwest Hawks spokesperson confirmed to journalists that the raid is related to charges of fraud and corruption, but he could not divulge which case the raid was related to.
Why is he so secretive all of a sudden, this dude?
Who? Suprama Homapelu? Hasn't he always been secretive?
No. The guy wouldn't reveal what the raid was about.
Oh, no. All they're prepared to say is that it's related to charges of fraud and corruption.
Hmm. Well, Supra, we know's got lots of hands and lots of pies. Listen, this is the Premier League, hey?
Yeah.
There's one of them that's sitting pretty at the moment. The other two have really fallen from grace. These guys used to be the most powerful people in South Africa. Remember, they elevated Jacob Zuma at that Mangaung conference to new heights and to executive powers he didn't have before. Supra, Ace, and Didi.
Yeah. Hmm. What was their nickname again? Didn't Justice call them something specific?
Premier League. Dodgy bastards.
So Mahomapelu yesterday said he welcomed the raid because, you know, as far as he's concerned, he doesn't have anything to hide.
But who would welcome? I mean, even if you knew you were... Imagine them coming to your house and taking all your stuff and you go, like, I welcome this. No, you've got to have something going on in your head.
But his head of communications did later indicate that the Hawks raid was related to a 3-year contract for IT services that the Premier's office has with Nepo Data Dynamics.
Mm.
205 million rand was paid from 2016 to date. So he said, we welcome the raid and have nothing to hide. Good for you.
Mabali, why would you need to spend 200 million in IT contract?
Gareth,
what are they doing for you? Burnishing in solid gold your computers?
I have never been privy to closed door business deals in the millions, so I don't know why this amount of money would need to change hands.
I mean, we need IT done. I say to Greg, listen, we need to do this. He goes off to, I don't know, Incredible Connection, buys some piece of software or hardware and comes in, plugs it in, fixes it out. He's smart. We don't have to pay anyone 200 million rand.
Mm. Well, you speak of paying anyone that kind of money, and interestingly, Walt Disney shareholders have rejected an executive compensation plan that could reward the CEO of Walt Disney, that's Bob Iger, up to $48.5 million a year over 4 years, plus an equity grant worth about $100 million.
I'm not sure that's enough money. Do you want to just tell us again how much it is?
So it is 48.5 million rand a year.
Jeez.
That they wanted to award the CEO, plus an equity grant worth about $100 million.
Catching.
But the Walt Disney shareholders came out strongly saying, no, they rejected it.
Yeah, that's ridiculous money.
The total compensation is tied to the closing of Disney's planned $52.4 billion acquisition of 21st Century Fox. 52% of shareholders voted against Disney's compensation plan for their CEO and other executives. The company said that at its annual shareholder meeting in Houston, 44% cast ballots in favor and then 4% abstained.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Gotta go work for Disney.
Gotta go work for Disney. Gotta work your way to the level of CEO, and then you two could be, you know, sitting at meetings that are discussing whether or not you deserve $48.5 million per year.
Well, let's just remember he didn't get it. So you go all that way, you work hard, you try and get Disney some money, and then it comes to you being paid, and they're like,
sure,
nah, we're going to cut you down.
Nah, we don't think this is a good idea. Shame. Oh, well.
See?
Sucks to be you, CEO of Walt Disney.
Who would have ever said that line? Who ever said that line? It sucks to be you, CEO of Walt Disney. See, what with this happiness thing? Bullshit, right?
And then, unfortunately, 3 more people are known to have died of listeriosis. This is just in the last week that we've been talking about it and, you know, laughing at jokes about baloney and all that stuff. And of the 3, it includes a baby younger than a month old, and it brings the death toll to 183. Now, here's an interesting statistic. Of those who have died, so of the 183, 79 have been babies. So you see again about having vulnerable immune systems. It's been the babies, it's been the aged, it's been the people with, you know, diseases like HIV and that kind of thing. So, I mean, this is sad news, but it, in a way, it reassures that the rest of us are actually going to be okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of hysteria about this too. I see people, you know, there's nothing more ridiculous than these housewives who are complaining, oh my God, I was eating the cold meats from Woolworths and now I'm worried I've got listeria.
Oh yeah.
Come on.
And then a few days ago, Woolworths decided to recall some of their products and that got everyone in a tiz because they thought Woolworths was trying to poison them and then were trying to cover their tracks by recalling the products. But I mean, it is sad that 79, the majority of the listeriosis deaths have been just little babies, and this this latest one to die barely a month old. It's really, really sad.
You don't have listeriosis, huh?
I mean, if any of us in this room did get listeriosis, we would be okay because we have stronger immune systems than those who are more vulnerable. We'd be perfectly fine.
Well, I was just Googling the other day to be on the safe side, and they said, like, it's sometimes in the worst of cases it takes a minimum of 3 days to show symptoms, but in grown adults it takes way longer because of course then it has to fight through your immune system to then show anything. So knock on wood.
Does anybody want to guess who's in the country? I'll give you one clue. He is from Zim.
Bob.
Yes.
Oh,
Bob. Oh, I wondered who the pensioner was in the queue at Woolworths in front of me. It was him, huh? I thought there was a crooked old man there. So that he looked very, very frail when I saw him. He was buying a cucumber.
Oh, just one.
One cucumber, because, you know, he's not living on the state anymore.
Well, also, remember, he doesn't eat meat, right?
No, he's a vegetarian.
So there you go. He's kind of on the healthier side.
I would like
side.
One of those breakfast melons, please.
You know what? It explains why you saw him in Woolies, Gareth, because he's now traveling as an ordinary citizen, okay? So it means that all those privileges that he used to have have been revoked, yes.
Oh, no grace, economy row 27.
Yeah. Yes.
In Zim, they don't have this looking after your past, present thing.
Not if you were not if you were a thief like he was.
He was reportedly on just a flight from Zim, bound for OR Tambo International Airport, and then he arrived yesterday.
Row 22C.
This made it his first trip to South Africa since stepping down after that military coup last year.
Grace, my darling, would you like the window or the aisle?
As to why he is in the country, some speculation here and there. It is thought that Mugabe is here to see his sons who live here. Those wonderful sons of
those paragons of virtue. Who are you gonna, which of their girlfriends are you going to strangle with an extension cord this time, Grace?
As well as to hold meetings with some of his longtime supporters in South Africa. So
yeah, you see, he's still agitating. I heard a story just 2 days ago about how he's meeting with some new opposition leader.
Yes.
Trying to foment some kind of rebellion. The guy just cannot get down from politics. He's still a totally political animal, even in his 975th year.
Well, you know, relating to the story that you're talking about, because this is the newest guy who wants to challenge Mnangagwa. But, you know, a source did reveal that, you know, look, as you can imagine, Mugabe was very bitter about how everything ended for him. So it would make sense that he is now speaking to the guy who wants to challenge the guy who basically threw him out.
Can you imagine Bob sitting in that big house that he's been building? And he's sitting there and he's fuming. He's just fuming the whole time. They had the cheek to throw me out. I am the father of the country.
Yeah. How dare they not be grateful?
I'm going to book a flight to South Africa and to sit in economy and go to Woolworths.
And fat cucumber.
Fat cucumber.
How dare you? Oh, Mnangagwa, when I get you, I will kill you.
So you didn't say anything to him when you saw him in the queue?
Nah, I just let him buy his cucumber. I mean, what am I going to do?
Guys, the old man, he's
going to die and he's going to disappear into ignominy. People will, you know, a lot of people, like weak and stupid people in society, will forgive him all his sins, like he's died and become a saint, and they'll say he was this great leader, and they'll forget all the things that he did and how many people died under his aegis.
Mm.
I won't.
So no state funeral either?
No. It's like all those other people who've just done nothing but bad in their lives. You know? I'm not one of those people who cares for the holiness of the dead. None of that stuff for me. Bob must just disappear quietly. He must be standing in queues at Woolworths buying cucumbers. That's the only fate that he deserves for eternity. He should live another 100 years just buying crap from Woolworths. That would be a great outcome for him.
Do you also want him to buy all the stuff that should have been recalled that yes. didn't get recalled?
And ready prepared meals. Those ones you pop in the microwave.
Yes, for 4 minutes.
For when Grace leaves me for a younger specimen, ah. then I'm in an old age home and putting the butternut and couscous into the microwave, making holes in the lid. And warming it up for 2 minutes at 35.
A younger, more powerful specimen, you know?
Yeah, well, that's exactly it.
Sure.
You know, that's what he deserves. Anyway.
Hey, you know how we're always going on about when children behave badly, it's well within our rights to blame the parents?
Yeah.
So there is a video that has gone viral on social media after it was posted by a father who is in the video scene driving behind his son, who he is making run to school. And this is all because his son was kicked off the school bus for 3 days for bullying. So the father thought, oh, you want to behave like a little shithead? I'll show you. So he gets into his car, he tells his son to start running, and then he drives behind his running son, and then he filmed the whole thing and posted it on social media.
Well, that's what bullying will get you. That's a good parent.
So a lot of people, you know, have been adding their 2 cents worth about the situation. People saying, oh, you're being abusive to your child, and then other people saying, no, that's how you need to treat these little shits.
Oh,
but yeah,
okay.
The video has now gone viral, so if you want to check it out.
Of course, they're going to be those parents who say, oh, no, that he shouldn't have done that. That's
yes,
that's why his child's a bully because he's a bully.
Yes.
What? Yes. I'm telling you. Yeah. Those people are going to come running out of the woodwork. All right. Quick update on cryptocurrencies. So it's been a day of absolute carnage.
I feel like you've been saying this for a while now.
It's clusterfuck central since December, basically. It's just gone down and down and down with a couple of ups to make you think that things are going to be okay. And then Bitcoin currently at $8,675. That's $8,675. It used to be at $19,000, Mubs. This is below half of what that was. High.
We remember those good old days.
Ethereum at $661. Also tanking like the shit that it is. NEO at $83.70. If you're interested in Ripple, $0.75. And Monero, which was up to yesterday holding its own, is now down to $247.43. Would you like to buy some wood? Wood seems to be a much better investment than cryptocurrencies right at the moment, but that's just me. Let's take our attention away from these horrible things called cryptocurrency and turn to Ben, who's currently in Fan Court. He's at the beautiful Fan Court, which is in the eastern Cape. It's near George, and he's there because he's playing golf. He's interviewing Gary Player. He's doing all kinds of exciting things. And currently, I actually watched some of your Instagram stuff yesterday, Ben. You were busy skipping golf balls across a lake.
Yeah, I was too busy actually playing golf and having fun. The company has just been amazing out here, so I haven't uploaded a whole bunch. But I'm having a great time, guys. Have a really great time.
All right, so give us an update on what you've been up to.
Okay, well, look, I'm not a religious man, but I think I'm very close to the Jesus right now. I'm on the links of Fancourt. I just flew my drone on a sunrise kind of little trip. It really is just the most, it's just beyond special. It's really, really amazing. So today's the last round of golf. The weather's peachy. We get to hang out with Gary later, which means the Asians are going to completely lose it. Now, when you put Gary Player near Asian people, it is like teenage girls to Bieber. So I get to witness that today for a couple of hours. It's really right up there.
Really?
Gareth, I unfortunately, you can't fly a drone around Gary. Gary's a bit like a rhino. You can't fly a drone around it to get very upset. But I will form what I can to show you just the sheer extent of fanfare that this man brings around the Asians.
All right. Well, good luck. And don't get shouted at by Gary. Apparently, he can be quite tetchy in interviews and things.
Yeah, I'll fix it there, Gareth. I've been doing this quite a long time. I'm quite confident around big groups. And I can always hide behind, like, the sort of taller, well, European people.
Yeah.
This event is so difficult to describe because it's like its own little portal of fantastic, like, 39 different nationalities here. And, you know, last night everyone got very hammered. It was the big Shabin party. Everyone was really hammered and dancing to Dr. Victor and the rest of the rebels. And everyone became very sort of like the big common denominator, which is having one big jaw. It was cool. Nice to be here.
You've met Gary before. Do you think he'll remember you?
I try not to be too familiar with Gary because I always want the element of surprise. That way I can ask him anything at any given time. If I do become too familiar, then he'll remember me and, you know, it limits my ability of content.
Oh, right. Okay. So you almost want to be blending in with the shadows.
Yeah, completely.
Got you.
So I just want to chat about sport for a little bit. Obviously, the big test today starts Australia versus South Africa at PE.
Mm-hmm.
I just released a video on my YouTube channel, the 10 best memes and clips from the whole incident with water in the cock. But a whole bunch of people apparently have Sonny Bill Williams' face cutouts, which they're going to wear to the ground today.
Yep.
Which can make it really, really awkward. And there was a massive night of athletics last night. You know, Justin Gatlin here, the world champion 100 meters. So he ran the 150 event, and Anasa Jobadwana beat him. He beat him at Tux. It was an incredible, incredible race. So he cruised to victory there. Carson Semenya smashed the 1,000-meter record. So, again, it was a really cool event because they were doing these sort of different codes. So she broke that record. Champions League-wise, this week, Real Madrid beat PSG again. So PSG are out. They spent all that money on Neymar, who now needs foot surgery, and they're out in the quarterfinals again. Very, very upsetting.
That sounds amazing. I'm kind of pissed off I didn't watch it now.
You're talking about the athletics, or you're talking about Champions League?
No. I'm talking about the athletics when you were talking about Justin Gatlin being beaten by... thank you very much. By Joe Bodwana and for Caster Semenya breaking that 1,000-meter record. That's interesting.
Yeah, I guess. And there was about 5,000 people in that stadium, which I know doesn't sound a lot, but it's complete capacity. And, you know, I was chatting to Ray Wixel about this on the Bounce Show recently. If we can bring athletics to this country and get everyone involved, it's a very, like, low barrier to participation. So we can get huge crowds, get a lot of people, and there's so much talent. You know, we don't need a lot of money because guys are running on a track. So this is a sport we should be dominating and getting big crowds. So it is really exciting to see that what happened last night.
Right.
Yeah, so as I was saying, the Champions League, so Real Madrid are through, Man City are through, Liverpool are through, and... I guess there aren't any big surprises. We all kind of saw it happening. First came close, the Juventus slipped into the post. So those are the four teams that are going through the next round. Rugby this weekend, Crusaders, Hurricanes, that's the big one.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost going to be losing to the Highlanders, the Blues, with Sonny Bill Williams are playing the Lions in Joburg. So it's a really great weekend of rugby because also Six Nations. Now, Ireland versus Scotland, that's the big one. If Scotland can somehow beat Ireland, everything goes to the final round next weekend. If Ireland win this weekend, well, it could be all thrown up. But then again, they've got England as their last match. So the Canadian Sevens as well. Really fantastic weekend of sport. But if you care and follow me on social media, today is going to be the big day here at Fan Court. Really will be.
We will be watching, Ben. Thank you, and have a good weekend. We'll catch up with you on Monday.
Yeah, lots of stories for Monday. I'm looking forward to it.
Brilliant. There we go. There's Ben at Fan Court with the latest. Said by Sia time. Are you ready for a little bit of this?
Yes, we are.
This is what we do, especially on a Friday. It's a good day to check in with Sia's unicorns and meadows and rainbows.
And musicals.
I want to be there so badly.
It's all a party in my head, don't you worry.
All right, go on.
Today I want to highlight a friend to the show, someone who we talk about here and there, Casper Lee. He is one of our proudest exports as well from the country. And this week he actually revealed that he did something amazing for his previous school. So if you don't know who Casper Lee is, well, firstly, which rock have you been living under? But he's, of course, one of the most successful vloggers to emerge from South Africa. And so he decided that he wanted to give back to the school where he came from. So the 23-year-old has now launched an educational scholarship at Oak Hill School in his hometown of Knysna. Now, Casper attended Oak Hill on an academic scholarship, he says. And given that he attributes much of his success to lessons learned there, he decided to pay it forward. So here's a little clip of him actually explaining the background process of putting the scholarship together.
Okay, let me just play that for you. So Casper, is this something that he put out on social media?
So he actually put it all in video format, and it's on his channel, and it chronicles the entire journey as well.
I don't know if I've spoken about this before, but I went to a really good school in Knysna, South Africa, and this school just was awesome. It supported my creativity, it helped me a lot with my education, and made me the person I am today. And when I applied to the school, we didn't have enough money to afford to go there, but luckily I somehow won an academic scholarship, and I know I'm not that smart, but I aced the paper. It was multiple choice, and I think I just ticked the right boxes. I was able to go to that school because of a scholarship that they provided for me. And recently I've been thinking, what do I want to spend money on? And I decided that there would be nothing more rewarding to me than providing someone else in the town I grew up in with the same opportunity I was given.
There we go. So that's just part of the video that's on his channel right now. And so he discusses as well how he's picked the first ever scholarship recipient, who's Indipile Witboy, whose tuition and other expenses will totally be covered by Casper and scholarship. So while the exact amount of the annual scholarship is not being disclosed, a rep for Casper says it amounts to five figures. So Lee also shares Witboy's acceptance speech in his latest video, and he says that he wants to continue doing things like this as well in the future. So for someone who's 23 years old, who's been able to recognize that they have achieved massive amounts of success.
You know, what a world we live in where a 23-year-old can create a scholarship for other young people.
Look at that. I think it's awesome as well that he decided to give back to his old school. And this actually is not the first time he's doing something this selfless, because earlier this year he donated little over a quarter of a million rands to Knysna after those deadly fires. So this morning for Said by Sea, I just wanted to say kudos to Casper Lee and what he's doing. I think it's incredible.
And so we're not just doing that because Casper listens to us.
No, we are not.
We know he's been a long-time supporter of what we're doing, and we've always supported him, and I think he's just proven that he deserved that support every step of the way. And for everybody in South Africa who's justifiably proud of him, you can see that there's also deep down, not this attention-seeking YouTube star that some people seem to think all 23-year-olds in the world are. This is a guy who has a genuine conscience and who wants to do amazing things and isn't just saying he wants to do them, he's actually doing them. So congratulations to the first recipient of that scholarship. And Casper, big ups, bro.
That's awesome.
Nice.
That's it by Sia this morning.
All right. Fantastic. 7 o'clock already.
Yes.
Oh my God.
What's that? Yes, like an hour down towards the weekend.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's the thing. So Sia chose a couple of songs for us this morning.
Yesterday
we had Jackson Wang with OK. Do you feel like, I suppose he's also someone who's been here before, and he's done very well, South African guy. Do you know who I'm talking about, Mubs? The movie star, Spud.
Oh, Troy.
That's right, Troy Sivan.
Also dabbled in some YouTube. And
that's
now he's full-time doing big things in music as well.
Correct. So here he is with his song, My, My, My. CS Choice for this morning. Coming up next, news.
This is CliffCentral.com.